So here we are in AMS Supercross Review, 11 rounds in Nandi, top 10 points, Cooper Webb, Eli Tomac, level on points, 6 rounds left. I think they've a 2 week break, or at least a 1 weekend break. It's all to play for in AMS Supercross 2023 450 class. And Chase Sexton, we were talking about this before we hit record, 22 points back, yet another crash out of the lead. Plus that 7 points from jumping the double on the race that he actually won, that was a 20-minute race. You almost couldn't predict the amount of things that have happened to Chase this year. Is he or is he not still in this title fight with 6 to go, 22 points back?
Well, I think he's still in it, but he's going to need a lot of help. You know, he needs both Cooper and Eli to have something go wrong at least one of the nights for each of them, and you would probably say that's unlikely. But until it's mathematically done that he's out of the championship chase, he needs to just keep believing that he can do it and just try and stay on the bike when he's winning. Because if he had done that, he'd be probably have the red plate by now. So it's just a weird one, you know, whenever he's battling with them, it actually suits him better than whenever he has a lead,
Even the one he
which is
won, thanks to
strange.
Blessinger, he came from behind and passed all his title rivals to get to second. And every single practice session, it feels like he's fastest 9 times out of 10, whether it's free practice, Q1 or Q2. He's generally the fastest in the races. It's getting to the point where it's unbelievable that it's still happening. The first time you go well, the second time you go, third time, by this fourth, fifth time, this is like, it's more than a pattern, and it has to be in his head now. I've been on a few of those press conferences and in the one at Tampa at the race. And fair play to Chase. He's very, very honest when he answers them. He's not afraid. He's not. I'm sure he's annoyed by having to repeat himself, but he does give an answer and has to repeat it, obviously, numerous times so far. But there's only so much he can say, I guess. He has to go out and deliver then that he has changed, that he is changing, whether he talked about riding rougher tracks or whether he talked about riding with more intensity at the end of a race in his practice sessions, or whether even it's setup of the Honda. I mean, this last crash there at the weekend, he just lost the front wheel going into a corner and ended up doing a ridiculous front flip. Even the crash was a lot worse than the mistake. And it looks like when there is a small mistake, it turns out into big consequences for him. So is that the bike? Is it him? It has to be in his head by now, even if it wasn't the first couple. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. He just can't find this last missing piece. He's looking behind the couch. He's looking everywhere. He's wondering if he's left it outside. Like, how does he solve this puzzle?
Yeah, I mean, you touched on the bike there. Right? The setup definitely does look very, very stiff. Could potentially have something to do with it, but at this stage, you're probably sounds stupid, but probably better off not thinking about it, because the more you think about something, and the more frustrated you are, and the more you know in your head that it might happen, the more chance of it there is actually happening, because you're almost overanalyzing everything. So try and just dust yourself down, go in the next round, and just treat it as any other race.
But when
And
you're
it's
5 minutes to
probably,
go, how do you not think about it
well,
too? Like, it's
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
somewhere in his
That's
head, it has like in the
exactly.
back of his brain going, oh
I know,
no.
and it's so frustrating, even whenever you're watching MMA and you
Frustrating to
see
watch, never mind being
you
him and
see
all the work
the,
you put in. It's
you see the yellow flags, and you just think, oh
you
no, it's Chase, and
do.
then it's Chase, and you're not even surprised. So frustrating, but I hope he can figure it out and stay in 2 weeks, because this, I think there's no doubt about it. When it comes to raw speed, he's been the fastest this year.
For sure. And
So,
that's when he adds up the points he's lost himself and the points that that's given Webb and Tomac, plus the 7 points for jumping the double on the race he won. He'd be leading the championship by now. You know, he's cost himself points and given them points. So
It's a
it's double.
double
It's a
blow.
double disaster. Yeah. And the more he does it, the harder it is to not do it, because this keeps happening and happening. So it's like a snowball effect for him, but he's still there. But 22 points, as you were saying, it's maybe if it was one guy and Eli has a bad race or a 10th again or DNF to the bike or whatever, but then he's still got Webb. You know, it's unlikely both
That's
guys are going to have a disaster unless Unless Chase can just put a run of six wins together in a row, which is unlikely at the minute, even though he's got the pace, and then just keep his fingers crossed that those two alternate second and thirds, or Roczen or Barcia or somebody can get in amongst it. So he's a chance, but the chance is probably 10%, whereas 2 rounds ago it was probably 33% each.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's it. I mean, mathematically, if he did win them all, and somebody and like Webb or Tomac finished second each time, he still wouldn't win the title, isn't that right? That'd be a 10 points difference if the same person kept finishing second.
But if they
So,
alternate, it'll give them a
if they
chance, you know what I
alternate, but
mean?
what I'm,
So, but
yeah,
yeah,
obviously it's
pretty
very
much.
unlikely to happen. But imagine if he won all six and
It's
either
technically
Eli or
not in his
Cooper
hands,
finished.
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that would be quite unbelievable, actually. But so it's probably never ever going to happen. But
What?
yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting. And I have to say, Supercross this year has been very, very enjoyable. Probably the most enjoyable season that I've enjoyed.
Yeah, a bit
Anyway, it's been
unpredictable,
really,
yeah.
really good. Yeah, and the fact is, there's two definitely in the championship chase. And as we were saying, if Sexton does put a winning run together, you just never know. You can't count them out. So it's definitely been exciting.
And Cooper Webb, his times in Seattle last round there were off badly. I think he qualified ninth, and that was after a last lap push to get out of 12th that he was in previously for the qualifying session. Then in the heat race, he got out front and Chase closed him down. But going over the finish, Cooper turned around and done a gunpoint at him, like bang, right into his face with Chase right on his back wheel, who'd closed 3 or 4 seconds on him. And I was thinking, why did he do that in a heat race? We know it's Cooper Webb, he likes to have mind games, but if you're Chase, you're thinking, I just caught you. Why did you shoot me with your finger? I caught you and I was faster than you all day. But when it came down to it was Chase that made the mistake, and it was Webb that held strong and got second. So I think that underlines again Webb's strength. First of all, his mental strength, but also his ability to produce when it really matters. Whereas Chase, when he really needs to, he doesn't even need to produce. He's produced the speed. He just needs to hold what he's got,
He's
and he hasn't been
done
able
the
to.
hard bit.
Yeah, he's done the hard bit. Whereas Webb can just rise to the challenge. Now, interestingly, I thought he was going to get Tomac, but Eli probably had to win that race for momentum. That was a 6 point swing in the points. If Webb won that race, as it is, it's their level on points, it could have been a 9 point advantage for Cooper Webb. And just when it looked like Webb was getting his teeth into Eli, Tomac just started stepping it up again. And it was Cooper that had to settle for second. And you could see Cooper's face at the end of the race, pan to him with his helmet off. He looked frustrated that he just, because he knew that was big for Eli. He hadn't won in a while. He had that neck issue a couple of rounds. And now that's just sort of re-established Tomac, at least in Tomac's mind, that he can win. And this title's in his hands. Webb did everything he could, couldn't quite get it. I think for the championship, it's poised pretty much perfectly. The only way it was better is if Chase could have had a few more points that he should have had, and it really would have been three guys going for it. But that win by Tomac for me was huge.
Yeah, a big, big win for Eli, and I think he did need it to try and to stop the momentum of Cooper. You just have to really admire Cooper Webb. I mean, there's all this talk about Eli Tomac breaking, records, winning all these races,
Stewart's
but at
50th
the
win, joining
yeah,
that record. So,
but at the end of the day, is if Cooper Webb wins this title this year, he might not have won as much races as Eli Tomac, but he'll actually have won more 450 championships than Eli Tomac,
that's a good point,
which
yeah.
people keep forgetting about. And he's just maximized probably his talent. Obviously, not saying he doesn't have talent, because obviously Cooper Webb has a lot of talent, but Eli was one that got a lot of hype, and actually Adam Cincirillo probably got more hype than Cooper Webb. So I think just through drive, determination, hard work, and his talent, he's been able to put this together. And if he wins three Supercross championships, that's unbelievable. Really, really impressive stuff from Cooper Webb, and he's definitely making Eli Tomac work for it, that's for sure.
And it looks to me like he's got the bit between his teeth now. I mentioned what he did to Tomac there in the heat race and the week before in Detroit. Even in the press conference and his TV interview, he referenced Sexton jumping that double multiple times. And then he mentioned the fact, I asked him, did he then prioritize beaten Eli at that point once Chaser got the gap, and he said, yeah. So I think he's at the point now where he knows what he needs to do for the championship. He's prepared to start these mind games, put pressure on his rivals, but at the same time, play it smart. You know, he just made sure he beat Tomac last weekend. Then in Seattle, when he realized he couldn't quite get to Tomac, he didn't throw it away trying. You know, he still took the second, didn't want to. You could tell by his face he was frustrated, but he still made the best decision for his championship. And I think he's just able to do that, but yet he's not afraid to run it in on Eli, run it in on Chase, do some off-track mind games either. He will do what maximize every opportunity he has to deliver this championship.
Yeah, I think the thing about it is, you know, Chase and Eli, when it comes to raw speed, have the
Yeah, they have it.
ability to win. But when it comes to mentality and, you know, putting somebody under pressure, and if the championship is close and it comes down to something like that, I don't see Webb doing something stupid mentally or throwing it away or crashing under
No.
pressure or something like that. I actually see Eli, obviously, since going to Yamaha, he's been mentally a lot stronger. But if it comes down to something really close, I could see him being the one to make them maybe the fatal mistake, and Webb, he and capitalizing on it, because that's what he does. You know, he puts himself in a really good situation, and even if he hasn't got their raw speed, he's so good, he's able to follow them. He might not be able to catch them and pass them every week, but usually he's able to pick up what they're doing, follow and go with them at least. And it's very, very impressive what he's able to do. He's almost doing it on the fly as well, because like you say, he
Yeah.
could be slow in practice. He might not even have a good heat rate, but you can never rule him out of a main event, especially if he gets a good start.
And I think he's prepared to go into the grey area more even than Eli. So when this championship comes down to it here, I think he's going to be willing to press Eli's buttons to make him crack, to give him a nudge in a corner, maybe not even to knock him down or just to irritate him. We saw even, I think it was the week before, he was quick to put the pass back on Eli as well, and that fight, that one that poor Aaron Plessinger threw away in style. Cooper was just opportunistic. I think, you know, when he sees the gap, he's going for it. If Eli gets rubbed into the tough blocks, he doesn't really care. And I think the more, because he maybe doesn't have that raw speed Eli can have in certain tracks, I think that's when Webb brings out the rest of his bag of tricks to do whatever he can to try and just get a mental edge on this title. And Chase could come into play here because you could have Chase winning these races or getting into second in between these two. So
That's
it'll
a
be
good
interesting
point.
how that goes. And you've also the side of Justin Barcia, who
He's been
is
riding
riding
well.
for essentially Cooper Webb's kind of teammate. So there could be situations there that if you're Eli Tomac, you're getting nervous about.
Well, I mean, do you think you could tell Justin Cooper to do anything? Or Justin Cooper, Justin Barcia? I just
I
think
would
he
doubt
rides
it,
for himself and only himself.
but with Justin Barcia, you don't have to tell him to do anything. You just have to tell him, don't knock Cooper. Like, be nice with Cooper and be your normal self everywhere else. I don't think
Well,
it's a
that's true.
necessarily,
Yeah,
can
that's
you
true.
take Eli out for us? I think it's going to
Yeah.
be more a just
Oh,
be
well, no,
careful
I
when you're
wasn't
around
implying
Cooper.
that. I was just
Well,
meaning, like, I don't see him letting Cooper Webb. I might be a little bit more careful,
I
but
think
I
you
don't
just
think he's
have to.
gonna let him pass, you know, that way.
I think when it comes down to the last 2 rounds, he's gonna have to adjust how he races Cooper compared to the rest. I think they'll just obviously be like, whatever. Because the thing for Barcia is, and looking back at the season so far, his speed has actually been good all year. The results just weren't there, but the last few rounds, the results are coming as well. So he's on that level. And if you're Eli Tomac and even Chase Sexton, so it's Sexton getting into it a couple in Detroit there, Barcia went for him and basically missed and then went backwards. He's gonna be a factor, and they're already quite nervous about it whenever they look up and go, oh no, Barcia's in front of me, or look behind and go, oh no, Barcia's actually on my pace and he's trying to pass me. So with this championship coming down, the advantage for Cooper, if those situations occur, is maybe only 10% more comfortable, but he's probably gonna be Justin shouldn't ram me off the track. Though saying that, he was putting a lot of pressure on him there at the end of the weekend. So I think he could be a bit of a wild card as well. And then we should talk about Ken Roczen. For me, he's doing better than what I thought he was going to do this year, especially initially. He was already in around that top five, six. He's got a podium. He's got a win. And yes, I think he'd sixth there at the weekend. But he's on their level. He's in that group of the top six. And with so little testing time, he's fourth in the championship, although he's level with Jason Anderson, and Barsha is like four behind. So three of them are really, really close. But he's there, and to be there with such little time with Suzuki to get that win, you saw how much it meant to him. But I think overall, this has really turned into a success story for Ken Roczen. In actual fact, Chase is third and Kenny's fourth. If you were Honda, that's probably what you were thinking last year would happen. And it's actually happened with Roczen on the Suzuki this year, the kickstart.
Yeah, with Roczen, I wouldn't say he surprised me with like how he's been riding or racing, because like I'm not surprised he can win, because on any given day if he's feeling good he can win, and I'm never surprised to see him in the podium. But I think the big thing is he's been a lot more consistent. You
Yeah.
know, he had maybe win in the past in a
Physically
Honda, and then
too.
the week, and then the week later he'd maybe be 10th or 12th, and you'd be like, what, how do you do that in a week? But he's been consistently in the top 6 or 7 this year, which is sort of what he's needed to do in other years, to be fair. But he's, yeah, you know, so he's very, very consistent, which is good to see, because sport's a lot better with a Ken Roczen riding
Even
like he can.
the couple of bad races he has hasn't been down to him and his physical situation. It's been more down to he's testing this new bike to try and find a setting. So, I mean, when he's got the setting, he's been back up in that top six group again. So, I think all in all, you couldn't really expect for much more. I think it was a push to expect him to be in this Web 6 and Tomac battle week in, week out. But he's in that Anderson Barsha battle for fourth, fifth, sixth, the championship. And the late start he got for the way last year went, we saw his dad do an interview saying that Chase had a different bike and Honda were listening to the setup for Roczen of what he wanted with a Honda. And funny, we're still talking about setup on the Honda for Chase this year. Roczen, I think for me, he's got pretty much all he can get out of the team and the bike and his situation coming from last year, with such little time to develop anything really, to be fourth in the championship. With a race win, podiums, and battling for top five overall, he has to be pretty happy with that. It'll be interesting to see what he does going forward. He's the option to ride World Supercross, which you would think would help in testing for 2024 AMS Supercross. But then there's also talk, I think Steve Mathis said at the minute, he's edging towards riding outdoors. So I think that will be interesting what way
Yeah,
Roczen goes there.
I think he's actually already confirmed he's doing the outdoors, which to me is also very, very surprising.
Surprising, yeah.
So,
I thought he'd be World
yeah.
Supercross number one plate for
Yeah.
Hep Suzuki, and then extra testing for 2024. So it's another thing to keep an eye on what way that goes, and also then how does he cope in the heat of the outdoors? I know he's had problems with that before. So
And hopefully, God forbid, that wouldn't set him back, because that would
yeah,
be a
that's a good
shame.
point. Yeah,
Yeah.
his World
Just when
Supercross
he's
six rounds,
just when
outdoors is
he's
12, and then.
just when he's getting back on track, it would be a shame for like that, for something like that to happen. But
Yeah.
yeah, we'll see. He could change his mind yet. I hope he does. I would like to see him do World Supercross, since I've got one close to home, you
Yeah, but it's on during Red Bud, so if
know.
he's doing outdoors, he won't be able
Oh
to be there.
yeah.
So that's
I
the
hope he does
schedule,
the World
and
Supercross.
doesn't really work for riders that want to ride outdoors and then want to do some World Supercross at the end of the year.
Oh, I'll have to pick one. Yeah,
Yeah,
I just hope
so
he does the World Supercross.
yeah. Jason Anderson. Slightly underwhelming year and maybe partly similar mistakes to last year without the wins, really.
Yeah, I feel like he hasn't got the raw speed that he had last year. I think last year he was probably the quickest raw speed along with Eli, but he hasn't really, for whatever
He was a
reason,
bit of
hasn't really
Sexton
showed that.
last year, sort of.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much, actually, yeah. Maybe not quite as good as Sexton, because Sexton is literally the quickest every week, pretty much. But Jason on his day last year was, you know, running at least with Eli, but for whatever reason it hasn't clicked the same this year. But you know, he's still been solid, still being good, so not been a complete disaster. He's still up there.
Aaron Plessinger, we'll have to talk about that crash last weekend. He was the style, the way he was riding, it was what how he looked on the Yamaha in his 250 days. It looked like the Aaron Plessinger of a couple of years ago. It's still unbelievable that he crashed there. And I think maybe the back marker just he was slightly coming
He
in at a
tried to
different
rush it.
angle. Yeah. And he said himself, he stood up instead of sitting down. But even then, it's when they said someone's gone down, as you said, you almost think it's Sexton. But it wasn't this time. It was Aaron Plessinger. So a hope for him, I was actually nearly hoping he would get the win in Seattle. It didn't pan out for him, but I hope he gets another opportunity because we talked about him at the start of the year. It was a big year for him. We weren't sure what way he was going to go, trend up, or would this be his last year in a factory team? I think he's proven to himself and the team that he's got the stuff to deliver. But that's mentally, that's going to be hard to overcome. And if he doesn't end up winning a 450 main event, he'll live with that the rest of his life, unfortunately. So hopefully he can get it.
I mean, it'll take him a long time, I think, to get over that, really. It'll always be inside him somewhere, the frustration of that night, because he was so cool. I mean, he dominated, really. He was unbelievable. And it would have been the best night of his career so far, probably. And for that to happen with 2 laps to go, heartbreaking stuff. But you sort of hope for him that he can get a win, because whenever he does get a win, I bet he'll be very emotional, because he'll probably think back to
That's,
that
yeah,
night
that'll
and the
wipe it.
night it all went wrong.
Especially with 2 laps to go, if he's leading again, it'll be a wee bit like Chase, but at least Aaron doesn't have the championship pressure, and maybe, just maybe, Chase now 22 points back. Maybe he won't have pressure now because he'll sort of let the championship go because it's somewhat out of his control. And maybe that will allow him to get those wins. Another rider who's impressed, Justin Hill, 2 years off, top 10 in points now. And it looks like he's going to be riding World Supercross with Josh, which would be pretty cool. But when it comes to talent, Justin Hill has it. And I think his results, I know there's a few injuries now, Dylan Ferrandis, Musquin,
A lot
Malcolm
of injuries.
Stewart. So he's benefiting from that, but his actual pace is getting better and better. And if you go from 2 years off to come in with a non-factory team, that shows how much talent he has, and probably couldn't have went too much better for him. 2 years on the couch. In fact, he was a police officer, and he's come back from that to go top 10 in 450 Supercross. So I think a shout out to him as well, and probably Joey Savacci. He's riding World Supercross too. He was easily sort of 7, 6, 6 to 10 when he was doing it with the Rick Ware Racing Group. And again, maybe looking forward to World Supercross here, kick off at Villa Park at the start of July. Even if Kenny Roczen doesn't ride, Eli Tomac's obviously now riding outdoors as well, so that you would imagine rules him out. You're still going to have some good names from AMS Supercross as well as Cole Seeley, but Justin Hill certainly, you weren't quite sure how it was going to go. But I think for him, it's went pretty well. It's been well worth this comeback.
Yeah, absolutely. And even just to prepare himself for World Supercross as
Yeah.
well, I think it's benefited him there. But I think that both the Hill brothers made history the other week, both of them getting in the top 10. So that's definitely a cool moment for them.
Yeah, I'm being on the sales. I was walking past their pit at Tampa, and they were just talking to each other as if, talking about the race, and this guy came into this corner here. I think it was actually Wilson and Josh Hill had that big crash at the end of the race, and they were talking about that, and they were just talking as if, it was two local riders talking about their race at the end of the moto. So it seems to be a good sort of somewhat family atmosphere. They don't have the pressure, but they still have the ability to go out and get results. So we'll move to the 250 class, and in terms of wins and race wins and everything, it's basically Lawrence brother domination. For Jed, it was expected. For Hunter, it was pretty much expected, but it was a case of could he deliver? And I think we can safely say he's delivering. Tampa, for that win, was pretty unbelievable. So it was great to be there to see that. But Hunter's level, the way he's riding, the dragon back there at Tampa in person, I mean, from the first time he gets on the track, his flow's fantastic. He's no real weakness. His technique's amazing as well. He's head and shoulders the best guy there. And as we saw, he's not afraid to put an aggressive pass on. He did one to Moseman in Tampa. He did one to Nate Thrasher a couple of rounds later. So he's ticking every box at the minute and no real weaknesses. So fingers crossed for him, he can get this title. But Jet, pretty much just me. He almost looks bored at times, like he's just not putting any effort in. Even practice there last week in Seattle, it looked like he wasn't even sweating. And he had the second best time behind Chase Sexton of all the riders, including Tomac and Webb. So I think we know where his sights are already. It's going 450, and indeed he's obviously going there outdoors in the summer. But Jet Lawrence is making a very difficult sport look very, very easy. And in that way, he's very similar to the way Prado is. Even at Rayola there, Prado just floated around that track. But he reminds me a lot of Stefan Edberts. And it's hard to find a guy that can ride at that level and make no mistakes and get the job done and win championships. So, and both Jet and Hunter ride like that. So fair play to them. They've come a long way. And at the minute, it's a dream season, especially for the family to have both of them winning 250 championships together.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, no big surprises. Both of them are big favorites going in, and they're able to what looks like, touch wood, deliver these championships, unless, injury or something happens. But God forbid that doesn't. And both of them can win their championship this year because they thoroughly deserve it. I think their Jet certainly is clearly by far the best rider in his class, and the same for Hunter. I think for me, Max Anstey has been a pleasant surprise. I knew in his
Fantastic,
day
yeah.
he could be a podium guy, but for him, pretty much you'd have to say probably the second quickest guy in the class after Hunter is very good, and he's another one. I think he admitted himself he's just going to milk this 250 class in the Supercross and go Supercross only because it's easier work than motocross, let's say. But I don't blame, I actually really like his honesty. I wish more people would be honest about that, and I don't blame him at all for doing it because
Use the skills to get it done, yeah.
he's had his day in MXGP putting in
Yeah.
all that hard work, so fair play to him. And look, he's another one that'll be doing the World Supercross Series in the 250 class, so he'll be a bit more prepared for it this year, and he could actually win that.
Yeah, I think after I saw him in the World Supercross last year, what he's doing this year, now maybe second in the championship is slightly more, but I did expect him to be a podium guy and in the top
Oh
five.
yes, yeah.
So,
See him. I just didn't think he would be clearly the second
yeah,
quickest guy,
and which
sort of
he
thing.
pretty much
Yeah,
has,
yeah,
along with Nate Thrasher, who,
yeah.
by the way, deserves a shout out as well, because he's
Yeah,
always all of a sudden, out of the blue, he'll go out and win a race. So you know his speed, but he couldn't do it consistently. This year, he's riding with no ACL. And he's doing it consistently. In fact, in Tampa, when we were trying to look for the press conference, he was there hobbling, and he limped the whole way to the press conference, and then had to get a mule, one of those mule truck things, back. So he's certainly dealing with an injury there. He's not even walking well. The knee's all taped up. So I think he's improved a lot this year in terms of maturity. He even probably could have tried to get revenge on Hunter after that collision they had a couple of weeks ago, and he still hasn't done that either. So he's riding with his head. So that brings us to Hayden Deegan and Jordan Smith. What did you think of that? For me, I thought there was an overreaction on the part of going against Hayden. I think he maybe overdid it, but Jordan was as much to blame. And in the end, it was Jordan that tried to take out Hayden, took himself out, and mentally unraveled it as a veteran rider. Couldn't qualify, crashed with ridiculous crashes, a ridiculous decision to go outside on the last turn of an LCQ when he could have went inside. So he didn't make that. While Hayden ended up on the night third on the podium, all smiles, dealing with a lot of questions. But I think for me, that shows his A's ability and but B's mental strength to take all that drama and not let it fluster him, unlike Jordan, and then go and put it on the podium. It, as bad as it is, maybe if you're a team manager, you don't want to see that. For Hayden's growth or to prove as a rider, I think 17 years old, he's got what it takes to be a championship contender in the future.
Yeah, well, to discuss the incident, firstly, to be honest, I don't really have an issue with either of them. It's racing at the end of the day. And obviously, Smith was raging, but this can happen to anybody. You can get into a rage and these things happen. So I don't really have an issue with either of them, to be honest. I think what Smith done in the LCQ in the last corner was actually worse than the battle with Deegan, to be honest,
Yeah,
because
and he
that
crashed
caused him
twice
the.
in the heat after it. I think the biggest issue was Jordan's unraveling after it, not so
After,
much the
yeah, not the act,
situation.
yeah, exactly. So, yeah, no issues. And yeah, Deegan's been really, really good in his first Supercross season. I think coming in that after he'd done the Supercross Futures, he wasn't even sure if he'd do the full championship. So, he's definitely ahead of what he probably thought he would have been. And it's good to see. I mean, America have struggled for an elite guy to break through. So,
He's a
it's nice to
guy.
see.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like the guy, yeah. But shouldn't get too carried away. Just let him grow and develop. Take it year by year, and we'll see. But certainly looking good.
Importantly for them, and in terms of America and these nations in the future, he looks like he's good outdoors too. Sometimes you have riders who just become supercross guys. Now he's young, so he
Specialist,
might
yeah.
go into that, but it looks like Hayden is equally good at both, so that's good on that side as well. One more rider I think we should have a quick chat about is Tom Vial. Where are you on his season? He started out pretty amazing, then somehow crashed in a corner, something he's done probably millions of times by now. For me, his only weakness is the whoops. Everywhere now, he doesn't have the speed of Hunter, obviously, and maybe Nate Thrasher, even Max Anstey. But I think generally, if it was a supercross without whoops, he'd be on the podium quite a lot and the, sort of battling for third with Hayden and Max and those guys. It's just the whoops. And the problem is, Hayden's had a lot of experience in whoops. He's probably been doing it from his own in 80, his own track. And I think we're seeing the difference there. Vial's a two-time world champion, but that's outdoors. And he's only started riding supercross, and his decision making is still pretty good. The only sort of big disaster he had was Daytona, which was frustrating because that was probably his most likely chance of a podium. But overall, I think he's been solid. But the whoops are still, they haven't really improved much during the season. But everything else for me, he's been pretty good.
Yeah, well, first I would say is the speed is more reflective of, I think he's ninth in the championship. He definitely deserves, on speed, he deserves to be probably, I would say, sixth,
Yeah, it's yeah.
which is very good for a
Four to
rookie.
seven,
And
really, isn't it?
never,
Generally, every week.
yeah, it's just that DNF cost him. And then I think he had a crash in the first round too, which ruined the podium. But I think his speed's good, as you say, the whoops are the big weak link. But you know, it's his rookie season. I don't think we'll have to panic on the whoop side too much yet, but next year, if he's not going too much quicker in the whoops, maybe a question needs to be asked. But I think overall he's doing well as a rookie, and in fairness, I think he's a bit unlucky because that's probably the most stacked any of the
It's probably the
250
deepest class, yeah.
coasts have been in a while. If he was in the other coast, he could be knocking the door for podiums pretty much every week probably, because I feel like
Yeah.
this
Certainly
the
top
coast
five
he's
every
in
week, yeah.
is, yeah, the coast he's in is starting a lot deeper, I think. So he got a bit unlucky that way, but yeah, it's just enjoy it and try and learn. And can't but can't in fairness now, I can't wait for the outdoors. Him and Hunter could be good
Yeah,
outdoor wise.
hopefully he'll survive the last couple of rounds of
Yeah,
Supercross, and then we can really see what he can do outdoors. So here
exactly.
we go. Six rounds, equal points. Cooper Webber, Eli Tomac, who are you going for?
Who are you going for? And then I'll say the other one. So we're not
That's not
being
how
boring.
you think. I'm gonna go. I think Webb might edge this, although I was
Wow.
more confident of that before last before Saturday night when Tomac produced again. Another win. So I'm going 51% Webb, 49% Eli Tomac.
All right. Well, since you're going close either way, I'll just go 100% web then. Why not?
Yeah, you are a Webb fan, but that 100% Webb is quite
Oh, well, I'm going all in. Like, I'm going all in. I'm not doing maturity. You're sort of half sitting on
yeah.
the fence.
I'm analysing it coldly. You're too
Well,
emotionally involved here.
no, hold on. You told me to pick a rider and I picked one. I mean,
Oh.
Tomac will probably win up, but I'm just going where.
We've just yeah, so you think Tomac's gonna win it, but you're going for Webb 100%.
No, I said he could. I said he could win it, but I'm going where.
Right, well, so am I. So good luck to us and Cooper
Well,
Webb. We'll do one of these soon again to see who was right and who was wrong.
do you know what? Chase Saxon, I've changed my mind. I'm going with none of the obvious two. Chase Saxon. Thinking outside the box now.
I think you're just waffling at this point, so it's probably time to go. And good luck to all three title contenders, including Chase Sexton. And we'll see who comes out victorious in about 6 weeks. The Supercross season's flown in, like you said. It's been each week's been so interesting to see who was going to steal the momentum. And we still don't know. It's still even Stevens for those two, and really Sexton's more took himself out than really those two have beat him down. So he's still an outside shot, but. We're on for Cooper Webb to win this, so it's probably more likely like Tomac will do it. And but either of them, I think at this point, are going to say that they certainly deserve it.
That's it. That's it. Can't wait to see how it all unfolds.
So we'll leave it there, and have a few more of these double race weekends coming up after a week off. So can't wait for that. And we'll speak to you again soon. See you later.
Ciao for now.